I know you're excited, but there's no need to cry, boo hoo hoo. You're listening to the Bugcast, episode 62.
Good evening. It's Friday the 5th of June. It's 9:20 in the evening. running a little bit late, later than usual. And you are listening to the Bunkcast episode 62. Thank you very much indeed for coming along and joining. I hope you're all well. Thank you very much indeed to Caroline, the lovely wife, for introducing the show this evening in a somewhat Big Brother themed introduction. Now, for those that didn't know, here in the UK, Big Brother was launched yesterday. Big Brother 10, I think. Somebody will tell me if I'm wrong. There was, on Big Brother's Big Mouth, last night, there was a character called Rebel Bingo Chick, I think her name was. And when she was pulling one of, is it 15, 16 balls out of this bingo-y machine, she was saying some extremely lewd and provocative things relating to the number. So Caroline thought it might be fun to pick up on the idea and do a not-quite-so-naughty version for the beginning of the show. So thanks very much, love. Thank you also to the guys from the Dumbdown Life for the use of their Shankcast server and chat room. As always, guys, we haven't had a podcast from you for quite some time. Come on. I'm withdrawal symptoms of the DDL. And thank you to everybody. Well, the three of you who are in the chat room this evening. We've got Ian, Katie and Caroline keeping me company in there at the moment. Thanks for being here, guys. I think everybody else is doing other things, which is absolutely fine. You know, people do have lives. Just a shame that I don't. Yes. Right, that first song was by Longwave Radio, and it was called Strange Song. And it was. That bit at the beginning with the beep and the kind of dial-up modem-y thing, that was part of the song. Yes, it was very strange indeed, but it was good. Good start to the show. Right, my goodness me. Have you seen outside? It was. I don't know whether it is now, because I can't see through the blinds, but it was absolutely chucking it down outside. When I left work at, I don't know, must have left work about 5:45 this evening, it had just started to drizzle. And got in the car, got on the motorway. That was about 6:15. And all of a sudden, the heavens just opened and this torrent of rain came down from the skies. And I'm amazed and also quite scared as to how quickly the surface water formed. I'm getting deja vu or deja recude of the... I made the same comments, I think, either in 59 or 60, relating to the same thing. And I remember saying at the time that it was around about this time 2 years ago that we had the big floods that, well, nearly wiped out a couple of villages down up this way. Ian just said in the chat room, it's all fine here, no rain. Well, you're the lucky one. But yeah, it was a little bit scary. But I made it home all right. Hence, you can tell. Yes. Yesterday, in the UK, local council elections, in England, should I say. And throughout the course of today, the results of the elections have been trickling through. And it's quite scary. What with the expenses, what are we calling them? There's always a word, isn't there? Every single flipping week. Scandal, thank you. There's the expenses scandals over here with MPs and it's kind of a lack of confidence in the government at the moment. It's not really surprising that Labour have, so far, at least when I checked, managed to lose 250 councillors within the 34 councils that are currently out for doing elections. And they have, excuse me, they've, in the 34 councils that are operating elections at the moment, Labour have actually managed to lose 4 councils. On the other flip of the coin, the Conservative Party have gained 217 councillors and control of 7 councils. And that means that out of the 34 councils that took part in the election yesterday and today, Labour have, Conservatives have control of 29 of them. 29 out of 34. Liberal Democrats have one, which was Bristol, which apparently was quite a phenomenal thing. The there are three councils that don't have any overall control by a given political party. And as of the time I took this, which was about an hour ago, there was still one result to come in. I've missed somebody, haven't I? Well, no, I haven't, because at the current point, Labour have not got control of any of the councils that have been doing elections over the last couple of days. It's not really surprising, but it is quite scary, because if you think that the way, in a general election, the way that the government gets... the way the political party gains power in government is by the number of seats they hold. Now, I can't remember whether seats relates to councils or not. Relates to councillors or not. I think it does, but I'm not 100% certain. But if that was the case, the fact that Labour have lost 250 seats, Conservatives have gained 217 seats, surely that would mean that at this particular moment in time, the Labour Party do not have a majority in... This is rubbish, isn't it? Because this wasn't for MPs, this was for councils. This is different. Yeah. Interesting. But, looking at the map that I took from the BBC website, the whole map, bar one small blob of yellow in the southwest and a couple of grey bits where there's no overall control, the whole map is blue. But, my point is still valid. Surely this would mean that we don't have a majority in the Labour Party anymore. So should that not automatically cause a general election to be called? Because we don't have, the Labour Party don't have full control anymore. I don't know. Speaking to my boss and a couple of colleagues at work, when they'd had this on the telly in our team room, and what's the words he used? I will not waver, I will not stand down, I think the phrase was. Now that he said that, it is generally believed, certainly amongst my colleagues and the senior management there, that the petition for a leadership challenge will be in by the end of the weekend, which doesn't surprise me, to be honest. I'm very surprised that Gordon Brown has actually got as far as he has. Now, I'm not trying to be unpatriotic, I suppose. It could be considered. I'm certainly not into politics. I don't understand politics for the most part, because it's not in my nature to be political. But I think that I don't know. You know, this is the guy who's running our country, and this particular person was not elected. Yeah, he went through the motions of a leadership election at the time that Tony Blair stood down. But from my point of view, and from the people that I've spoken to about this, when there is a general election and we're looking to decide which of our political parties are actually going to take a majority share in our government and therefore have control of the government, I think the choice will be very heavily weighted towards the person that's in power in that party. And I think that is the reason why, you know, the Labour Party is still in power, because at the last election, Tony Blair was in power. But we've now, I don't know, we've been denied that choice. We've been, the leadership has changed without the general public having the opportunity to say whether they approve of that or not. I suppose the ultimate question would have been, had Gordon Brown been in power the last general election, would the Labour Party still have won the general election? I don't know. It's an odd one. Ian just said they should do what they do in the US and have set times for elections. Do they have set times? I thought it was either a 4 or 5 year term. Just trying to remember, because I think we looked into the presidents of the United States a good couple of months ago now. When Barack Obama came in, so that would have been about four, four odd months ago, and we were discussing how long the term of office was then. But yeah, I don't know how. Oh, it's set 4 years apparently. So Ian says, I think it's over here we decide whether it's going to be four or 5 years time. But I think it's ultimately the Prime Minister's decision to when the general election should be. But it's there are, I don't know whether they're rules or guidelines or law to determine how long a party can remain in office without being challenged. But I think in a case such as this, you know, the public has spoken. 29 at the moment out of 34 councils in England have gone to the Conservative Party. That surely would mean that, you know, the Labour Party no longer has a majority in the House of Commons. So I don't know. Like I say, I'm not a politician. I don't follow politics and probably never will. But I suppose I can't really talk because I didn't vote. I'm pausing to give you guys a chance to shout at me. I know there are some people that like me, talk to podcasts. So I'm just giving you the opportunity to say, well, if you haven't voted, then it's your own bloody fault. You haven't got any right to make any complaints or anything about this. Well, yes, I do, because we're in a democracy. So I've got full right to air my opinion. I had a free choice. I made that choice not to place a vote. Although I think my fatigue actually made the decision for me when I got home yesterday evening and got home and got the kids settled, and then Caroline got home and I had about 25 minutes to run to the polls and make a vote, and I thought, eh, can't be bothered. Ian's just posted a link into the chat room for a wiki page. The wiki page is called Elections in the United Kingdom, and I am going to grab that. I'm going to stick it in the show notes for this evening's show. But before that, let's have some music.
listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org. You're listening to a feed.
Lily looks back for the last time. She's on her way to 2099. Do you think she'll come back? Or do you think she'll come
Tall Poppies there with their track The Time Machine, or Time Machine, sorry, should I say. That track was actually submitted, it was sent to me back in February, and I feel quite bad for having left it this long. I got an email from them on the 11th of February. It says, "Hi Dave, our friend Gemma recommended the band should contact you if they were interested in doing a podcast, as you're currently compiling them. Tall Poppies are a twin sister duo that are currently based in London, originally from Australia." Now, it was a few months ago that I actually contacted Gemma. Now, she does have a promotions agency, and I cannot remember for the life of me what it's called. I just had a look back on previous episodes to see if I'd mentioned it, and I haven't, which is really bad. So, Gemma, if you're hearing this, and you hear this before I get in touch with you, can you just let me know what the what your promotions thing is called? I'll make sure I get it included. I wrote back to them and said, yep, love to help. send me a track and give me permission to play it. She said, they replied back on the 26th of February saying, great, we thought we'd send you Time Machine. It's a song of our first album, Thursday, and we're not far off completing the second album. Time Machine is all about time travel, but there's more to contemplate philosophically. There's a video to match this that can be found on YouTube and on our MySpace. And then it goes on to continue describing who they are. It says, Tall Poppies are a twin-fronted guitar pop band based in London and play live frequently, mainly in London at the moment where they're getting their recording done. Their influences include Kate Bush, David Bowie and The Smiths, to name just a few. And it does say here where their next gig is, but that's actually where their next gig was because it was on the 13th of March. So Susan and Catherine from Tall Poppies, thank you very much for allowing me to play this track. And I do apologise for having left it, 3.5 months to actually play it on the show. But that was good, so thank you. And before that, you heard Mochiba and Lighten Up. Now, it's the third outing on the Bugcast for Mochiba. Played them on episode 3, way back in, would have been May, I think it was, of 2008. Played their track, Everybody Loves a Loser. And also again on episode 18, their track, Wonders Never Cease. So I think that probably qualifies them to become a regular appearance. Do like Mochiba. I've liked them for a heck of a long time, ever since I first started listening to them. On the box on analog cable back in 1995, I think it was. If you've never heard Mochiba before or any of their more commercial stuff, I really would recommend you have a nosy around and look at it. You may not already realise this. If you haven't heard Mochiba on the show before, you may have heard the lead singer from Mochiba on another song. Now, you remember the Perfect Day various artists cover of the Lou Reed song back in 97. As part of the song, they had various singers and performers singing a line from the song. And Sky Edwards was actually the third artist on the track singing the line, We Go Home. So you have heard of them, even if you don't never think you had. So, there we go. I made a boo-boo, didn't I? What a plum. I was about to say, you know what? I've learned how to use this console without using a mouse, so I can actually produce the entire show just by keyboard alone. And then I go and completely wipe it by pressing the wrong button at the wrong time and getting the same jingle coming out twice, which is pretty poor. So I do apologise for that. And he was just about to make the same mistake again. Idiot. Right. Okie dokie. Some exciting things coming up in my life over the next few, days to months. The days bit is on Wednesday. The moment I say this, there's going to be a collective groan around the listener base. On Wednesday, we officially get to look at upgrade options for mobile phones. Yep, that pause was for the groans. And as you're already aware, and I'm sure I've mentioned it enough times, and you're probably bored to tears by it by now, I will be going for the Android T-Mobile G1 phone, the Google phone. Now, I've read the reviews. I've actually read a lot of reviews on this phone, and I'm aware of some issues that relate to it. As far as the hardware is concerned, the biggest complaint about the phone is its battery life. Now, there are some people who say that it will not last a day. These same people have a lot of the extra features like Wi-Fi, GPS, stuff like that, on all the time. Now, of course, that's going to drain your battery down. It's not surprising. So I'm happy that I'll need to turn some things off to make it last. But with my own phone at the moment, the way I use it quite a lot, and I can usually get a day with some fairly decent usage out of it, and I'll have to charge it again. So as long as it's as good as or better than that, I won't have a problem. But everywhere I go, there is a charger. I've got a charger next to me, next to the bed, so I can charge the phone overnight. There's a charger in the car, so I can charge it on the way into work. I've got a charger connected to my monitor at work. We're not allowed to connect USB devices to PCs, you see. So I get around it by plugging it into the monitor instead and just using the power. So I can charge it at my desk. I've got a charger, a USB cable I can plug into my laptop. So if I'm at home on the PC, I can charge it there. Wherever I go, there's a charger. So that the battery life really isn't an issue. Another hardware issue, apparently, for some people, is the form factor. It is a little bit bigger than my my Vario 3, which, for HTC fans, is the HTC Titan 2. But I think that's mostly contributed by the fact that it does have a larger resolution screen. But to be honest with you, I've had a brick for a phone for the last 3 years, so that's really not a concern either. And also, the slide-out keyboard. Now, on my phone, my current phone, which is currently trying to do stuff, the keyboard, the whole of the device kind of slides in half. Oh, go away. So the whole of the front of the phone slides to one side, revealing a QWERTY keyboard underneath it. Now, the T-Mobile G1 kind of works in a similar way, but only part of the front of the phone swings away to reveal a keyboard underneath. Now, some people have said, yeah, that mechanism's going to break within a couple of days. The bit that doesn't swing out gets in the way of your thumb for typing. But I've had a play on one of these, and it's really not an issue. So all the hardware issues that have been complained about aren't issues. Software-wise, T-Mobile released the most recent version of the Android operating system to the G1 a short while ago, which means that all the things that I had concerns about in terms of the software, like stereo audio over Bluetooth, which I really use a lot, and video capture, are all addressed. So they've been addressed by a software update. So that's not a problem. Some people have expressed concerns about the operating system of the phone. You're not going to hear me say a bad word about it because it's Linux-based. So, you know, I've had a look at the phone. I've had a play with the phone. I've seen other people running their batteries down with a Star Wars lightsaber-style thingy because it's motion-sensitive to the point where the battery runs out and the whole phone switches off. I wouldn't do that. I'm not that sad. Besides which, I'm not that keen on Star Wars. But some people have actually said, why don't you, you know, get the HTC Magic from Vodafone, which is effectively like the G2, is the next generation Google phone with Android on it. I did some research into it, and apart from the slide-out keyboard, they're technically identical. Same size screen, same processor, same memory, same hardware. It is the same phone, just without a slide-out keyboard. So my decision is made. I know there are some other phones coming out in the near future, which, I have yet to decide what I'm going to do about that, because they're not actually due out for another, you know, good few months. And I know that, you know, the people that have got the G1 have had some really good things to say about it. So that's what I'm going to do. So come Wednesday, I'll be on the phone to T-Mobile and say, oi, what can I do? And what can you do for me? And how much is it going to cost me? Because the phone itself is free. So we shall see. I might have to wait a month because I'm pretty certain that the 10th of June is the start of the 18th month rather than the end of the 18th month. So Ian's just said something in the chat room about about this phone. What does he say? Plus, it's still an HTC phone, he says. But I don't know whether he means that as a positive or a negative. I'll give him a chance to respond to that one. So that's my near future excitement. My middle term excitement over the next couple of months is... Ian's just said it is a positive thing, which, yeah, I would agree with that. Yes, the division I work for has been restructured very recently. I think I made some comments about it in a past episode, but I think I said I couldn't talk about it because no announcements had actually been officially made. But now they have, so I can talk about it. And what's happened is try to explain as much as I can without giving too much away, because there are still restrictions as what I can say. The division that I work for, the Umbrella Division, has different areas that deal with different things specifically. So, looking at, like, I think I'll have to use an analogy here. If you're talking about demographics, you've got a group of people here that this part of the division services, another distinct group of people that this division services, and another distinct group of people that this division deals with. So you've got three divisions all servicing a distinct demographic of people. But in those three divisions, you have a data processing department, you have a data analyst and analytics department, you have a marketing department, you have a finance department. And what we've done is we've like turned it on its side and kind of broken away from those divisions. So we now have one data processing department, one data and analytics department, and so on. And because we've kind of merged these satellite functions into one area, but we're in different buildings. So demographic one is dealt with by a building in the city centre. Demographic two is dealt with by the building I work in. Demographic three is dealt with by a building in the city centre. So where we've pulled these vertical teams out, we've then got members of the same team across different geographies. So we're moving them all together in various ways. And the result of that is that I and the team I work with are upping sticks from where we are outside the city, Nottingham city centre, and we're moving into the city centre. And that's happening around about August time. And I'm really looking forward to it because, A, it's a change, and I think it's a change for the better. B, we're working with a completely new set of people. It's quite sad that we'll be leaving some people behind that we have, you know, only recently started to know. So that's a negative side of it. But other than that, I think I'm really looking forward to it. There are some people in the department who have expressed concerns about it. Like one of the guys that reports into me, his wife works on the same wing as us at the moment. Now, he's moving across, but she isn't. Now, when I told him about this move, understandably, he was a bit, torn about how he felt about it, which I can fully understand. But I know we'll get around it, and I know that people will adapt to it in time, and it can only be a good thing, because new experiences, new horizons, new opportunities. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. But that leaves me with a number of choices of how I get into work. Now, at the moment, I have two primary routes into work. The first one is straight down the M1 and then into the city from the side. The second one is straight down the A1 and into the city from the top. Now, if I know in advance that the M1's knackered, I'll take the A1. So that kind of gives me an option. Now, by moving into the city centre, my M1 route is kind of now not available to me, because the park and ride for the free bus service is on the northeast side of the town, and the M1 access is on the west side of the town. So that kind of limits my options. But the route would be straight down the M1, drive to the racehorse park and ride. Racecourse park and ride. Take the bus, Link 2 bus, into the city centre, and then walk up a hill. Now, I've got no problems walking up hills or anything like that. But in this weather, and me being, shall we say, carrying a bit of extra, it does tend to make me a little bit sweaty, which isn't very pleasant. So that's the first option. The second option is to drive to one of the tram terminuses, either at Hucknall or Phoenix Park, take a tram right into the city centre, and then a shorter walk up the same hill, because the tram stop is closer to my workplace than the bus stop is. Works out cheaper in the long term, because if I take the tram, the journey to the tram is just over, in terms of time, half my journey into work in its entirety to the current location. So I'll be saving probably £80 a month in petrol, which is fantastic. But then it'll cost me about £35 a month to get a tram ticket. So I'm still saving. So that's a good thing. And it means less wear and tear on the car as well. We've also found out that there is a corporate and council subsidised car park, literally a 2-minute walk from the office where I'm going to be working to. Now that's ideal, because the cost of it would be roughly the same per month as it would be to take to buy a monthly ticket for the tram. But unfortunately, that is kind of cancelled out by the fact that I'm still having to drive into the town centre with the extra mileage. So I'm not sure really how I'm going to do this. Another option would have been to drive to the racecourse park and ride, and then cycle into the city centre. Yeah, let's not go there. What should I do? Take the drive to the park and ride, take the bus in and walk up the hill, which probably won't save me much on petrol, but it will, I suppose cost-wise, it'll be the same as I'm doing at the moment. Drive to the park and ride, park and tram, sorry, at, we'll say Hucknall because that's further away from the city. Take the tram into the city centre and then walk up a hill that way, which will save me money in the longer term, but does commit me to buying a tram ticket every month. But it does also give me the option that if the M1 is knackered again and I can't get to Hucknall, I can still take the A1, take the park and ride. Or do I spend the extra, because it would be, and park in the car park literally next door to the office? Don't know. Anyway, I think I've waffled on for long enough. So we're going to give you the opportunity to waffle a bit. I have some feedback. And the first feedback, he says, clicking frantically because I haven't had any, haven't thought ahead, was from John the nice guy. He says, "Hi Dave, just wanted to let you know that I love this show. An excellent opening. I was listening to the first song thinking, wow, this band are really like Enigma. And I was massively surprised that they were on the PodSafe Music Network. I don't suppose you'd be able to spend a couple of seconds explaining what PodSafe means. Initially, I thought it was Creative Commons licensed music, but with such a big name on there, sadly, I don't see that being the case." Right. I don't have a definitive answer for... Sorry, a definitive definition for the phrase PodSafe. Now, Wikipedia might. Let's have a look. My understanding of PodSafe literally means this track has been cleared to be played on a podcast. Now, from my own understanding, it doesn't mean that it's a generic license for podcasting. I think you can have, you know, I could go to an artist, say, can I please play this track? And they say yes. From my point of view, it's PodSafe. However, it's not generally. Wiki says, PodSafe is a term created in the podcasting community to refer to any work which, through its licensing, specifically allows the use of the work in podcasting, regardless of restrictions the same work might have in other realms. For example, a song may be legal to use in podcasts, but may need to be purchased or have royalties paid for over-the-air radio use, television, and possibly even personal use. So hopefully that does explain it. John continues in his email. My second comment is about having Caroline co-hosting the podcast. It was brilliant. She sounded a little bit like Sarah Cox of Radio 1 fame in all the right and best possible ways. I've often thought that while podcasts with one host can be really good, it frequently takes a co-host to bring out the best in any broadcast style show. If you can, it'd be great to have her on more shows in the future. Well, I told her this literally the moment I got that email, and she looked at me and kind of like grinned and nodded. So I think, yeah, there will be more shows with Caroline in. There couldn't really be less, because I think it has been... I think she was in 30 and 61. So, yeah, in 62 episodes, she's only actually been in two of them. So, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. John then continues, in a previous episode, you mentioned you were recording the show on Linux. As a more geeky listener, I'd be interested if you could give a quick rundown of the software you use to record the show. How long have we been on? 46 minutes. No, is the answer to that, but I will do that as a special feature next week. All right, so be listening next week, John. I know I will explain that bit out. And he does actually say, no, I'm not going to read that bit out. So, yeah, thank you very much, John, for that bit of feedback. Very useful, very constructive, and very much appreciated. So, cheers. A second email was from Darren from the Dumb Down Life. And the email was addressed to Nom Nom Nom. I don't know what he means. Do you? Anyway, he says, Dave, there's no such thing as a free lunch. I think that all the wireless service is free to the podcaster, it still requires some system for bringing in money to pay for itself. I think that Libsyn and similar services are very good in that they don't limit you just to how the limit you as to how the files can be accessed, be it iTunes, RSS, etc. Clearly, if you weren't mentioning Libsyn in your recording, then the end user would have no idea about what service you're using. An advert at the start and the end of the show is a tiny price to pay. Needless to say, I'll keep listening no matter what you do, but I don't mind the adverts. Darren, thank you for that, because I feel a little bit better about it now. This whole advertising thing, it is, I wouldn't say concerning me, but I am worried about how other listeners might take the appearance of advertising. One of my fellow podcasters, Grant Mason, from the Three from Leith podcast, a guy who, incidentally, Caroline absolutely has fallen in love with his voice. He's Scottish, you see. He has a personal viewpoint on the whole advertising malarkey, and he said he's actually stopped listening to a fair number of podcasts because of the advertising that was contained within it. But I think in his case, it was a little bit more extreme, that rather than just having 5 to 15 seconds of advertising at the beginning and maybe up to half a minute to a minute at the end, the podcasters in question were actually then continuing the advertising thread during the show as well, to the point where the entire show became one large advert. Now, believe me, guys, that would never, ever happen on this show. And I'll probably stick my neck out and say it would probably never happen to any of the association podcasts either, because that's not what they're about. Another comment that Grant Mason also made was about making money off of it, because some of the money that comes out of the placement of the advertising will be presented back to the association, kind of a profit-sharing thing. And I think the whole point of us doing the podcasting is that we are trying to bring independent artists out into the public ear. And that making money off of that, even though the money wouldn't necessarily be a profit, because it would just go into to continuing the work of the association, but making money off of the generosity of these artists that have agreed to allow podcasters like myself and Grant and loads of other people to play their music kind of defeats the object. I don't know. Darren, thank you very much indeed for the feedback. I will respond to this, because I do have a suggestion or potential solution to this problem. And I'm not going to go into the details of it, but the basic upshot of it would be that we'll let it happen. We'll let Libsyn start to put the pre and post roll adverts on the show. But for the first week, I will source the show for your benefit from a different location. Now, you won't notice this because you'll still think you're downloading it from my website, actually. But for the most recent show, so the show that is currently the most recent one, you won't get the adverts on because it'll be sourced from somewhere else. But after that week has gone past, so in this case, once 62 has been released, then 61 would start containing adverts, if that makes sense. It won't because the adverts haven't started coming out yet, but that's the kind of theory it would be. So for those people that are first week listeners or subscribers through iTunes or any other podcatcher, you wouldn't have anything to worry about because you would never hear the adverts anyway. So that's what I intend to do. Right, oh my goodness, I've just seen the time and we still have lots of music to play. Let me shut up. Let's have some little bit of comedy. This guy is, this is Tom Smith. Have played him before. Yeah, this is a good one. Check this out.
There's a tall, skinny blonde, that's the kind I like, but I can't see past the middle-aged guy on the bike. I moved down the street for a better view, but now she's all blurry, what's a man to do? There's a hot brunette just caught my eye, I could reach out and touch her if it was last July. Cruising for chicks on Google Maps, the be-all and end-all of killer apps. 9 billion panoramic street view snaps, cruising for chicks on Google Maps. Don't need a fancy car or fine clothes to wear, drag the icon to an intersection, stop and stare. Honeys to the left of me, hotties to the right, pose perfectly waiting for a traffic light. They pixelate the faces, but that's absurd, what's below the neckline sure ain't obscured. Cruising for chicks on Google Maps, all of the girl watching, none of the slaps. Next version's got dancing on rendered laps. Cruising for chicks on Google Maps. You can keep your real doll with her plasticine bod and your Grand Theft Auto with hot coffee mod. Your social network and online day finder, 'cause I'm surrounded by real live women, kinda. Scan every country from border to border without violating my restraining order. Some people think it's creepy and they say that I'm misusing this digitized moment of time. But I'm only girl watching in the information age, and I've got a zillion hits on my Twitter page. Cruising for chicks on Google Maps, I'm a macro Mac daddy in 3D time lapse. Instead of Texas Hold'em or shooting craps, I'm cruising for chicks on Google Maps, firing off every erotic synapse. Times Square or Disneyland might make me collapse. Cruising for chicks on Google Maps, what's the best thing in life? It might be perhaps. Cruising for chicks on Google Maps, cruising for chicks on Google Maps.
Hey, sweet thing, you live around these approximate coordinates? Much.
This podcast brought to you in part by Liberated Syndication, podcasting made easy. For more information about Liberated Syndication, visit libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN.com.
Living, dying, mouse aren't we? lying kind. If I just lay back and stare at the sky, would you still pay me no mind?
That was Men Who Listen with Pay Me No Mind. And Men Who Listen were brought to my attention by Matt over at Platform One Entertainment, who are very rapidly becoming one of the show's most key music resources. So, Matt, thank you very much indeed for bringing these guys to my attention. His email says, "Hi, Dave, this is Matt with Platform One Entertainment, and I'm contacting you to let you know about one of our bands, Men Who Listen. They're a three-man band from Chicago, made up of Dan Pacorni, vocals, guitar and keyboard, Patrick Doody on drums, and Bill Harrison on bass. Their music digs into their roots, combining British invasion-esque guitar riffs with elements of 70s rock, blues and modern pop, and featuring Dan's unmistakable melody-driven vocals. I've attached two of their songs with this email and hope you'll also check them out at their MySpace, myspace.com/newstoryband. So, yep, have done. Picked the song that I preferred out of the two and have played that. I thought it was good. What do you guys think? Let me know so I can feed back to Matt and let him know. And he can tell Men Who Listen. Because they listen, apparently. And prior to that, you heard Tom Smith with his song Cruising for Chicks on Google. very good feedback from the chat room on that one. Caroline says, "I like this guy." Ian said, "I liked this one." So, yeah. And, Ian has just commented on the Men Who Listen track, saying that was quite good as well. So, fantastic. Right. Do I have anything else to do? And we've just breached the hour. Oh, my goodness me. Right, I think we're probably going to leave it there. I have a story to tell you. This happened today, and it was absolutely hilarious, and I've not been able to live it down since. So, I was on my way to a meeting. Sorry, there were three of us. I'm going to drop names here because it makes it easier for me to tell the story. Wayne and Scott, we were on our way to go over the road to one of our other buildings. And I took with me a notepad with some loose sheets of paper because I was leading that meeting. And as we were going down the side of our building, inside the side of our building, we're heading towards the front corner. And I said, right, I just need to quickly pop into the loo for a wee and then we can go. And Wayne said, yeah, that's a good idea. I need to go as well. So you have to kind of picture this with me. So bear with me. Scott was in front. He went through the double doors and stood to the side. Wayne turned left to go into the toilet. I, at the same time, turned to follow Wayne, but at the same time handed my folder across to Scott and said, "Hold this for me, will you?" Wayne, was that you laughing at this? Just heard a giggle from Caroline. I wasn't sure whether she was listening to this or not. Yes, Wayne basically burst out laughing. Scott was kind of like, And basically everybody in the office knows about that now, which it was quite embarrassing. Anyway, right, next week, episode 63 of the Bugcast will be broadcast here live, 9 o'clock on Friday the 12th of June. If you want to get in contact, you can do so in a number of ways. You can visit the drop at drop.io/thebugcast. Hasn't been used for a while, so by all means, please do so. And you can also send an email, as many people have done, to feedback@thebugcast.org. You can also visit the website at thebugcast.org for the show notes for tonight's show and all previous shows, which contains links of the artists that we've played and also the sources where the artist tracks have come from. And the tracks this week have been taken from the Podsafe Music Network, Platform Entertainment, and Starstruck Promotions. That was the name of the PR place that Gemma runs. So there we go. So then, all that really remains is for me to say thank you to everybody for listening to the show, whether you're either listening live in the chat room at the moment, like Ian, Katie and Caroline are, or whether you're listening to the podcast, like you are. Thank you very much for being here and supporting. So that's it. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and enjoy the rest of your week. And we shall regroup in a week's time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye.